Cool. So welcome to the Lighthouse Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm Dan.
Today we're talking about startup founders and what the most important qualities is for them to have, and also some that we reckon aren't quite as necessary.
Yeah, they think they need them, but they don't.
So why don't you start us off?
Yeah, okay. So I think probably the number one thing they need is a kind of a vision and some passion for that vision. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really clear when someone is really into an idea and when someone has just thought of an idea and just wants to start a business.
Yep.
And that's fine. People want to be entrepreneurs, but you need to be an entrepreneur and start something that you personally have a passion for.
Yeah.
There's no point in just saying, I want to do a social network for an industry I've never
yep.
been a part of.
Well, you're going to be putting a lot of time into this thing,
an
excessive amount of time. And if you're not passionate about it, it could be quite easy to start losing focus on that.
Completely. You've got to be explaining what you do all the time. So that vision has got to be quite clear. Like, what is the problem you're trying to solve?
Yeah.
You've got to know about that problem, and you've got to be able to convince other people that it's a big enough problem to come with it. You know, I mean, you need to convince yourself as well, but you're going to be convincing customers. You're going to be convincing people to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly later on down the line, you're probably going to be trying to convince investors.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
we work in client services, so people come to us and give us money for us to do things.
Yep.
But that relationship won't work either unless you can sell what you're trying to do to someone.
Definitely.
Because just because you hire them doesn't mean they're going to believe in it, and if they don't believe in it, then that's going to come out in the wash.
Yeah,
you're always going to be selling that vision, so you've got to be so clear on that. And and like you say, you've got to be, you've got to have the passion to want to get it right, to want to solve that problem, not just to want to have a business.
I think that's
something I definitely say.
Yes, I mean, a lot of the time people come to us and they congratulate us on having the skills of being designers and developers, and it's very hard to do, so we get paid the big bucks and all that.
Absolutely.
But a lot of them kind of wish they had those skills themselves, and I think it's actually not something that they need to have as a founder.
I completely don't think they need to have. You're right. It's sort of like any founder is going to want to build something, right? And to them, the biggest frustration of the whole thing is they don't yet have anything. Like, they don't have a product.
Yeah.
Like, they're at that stage. They've got this problem, they've got this idea, and they think, right, if I could build this, I'd solve it. And
of course there's high profile
startups out there who have done it. You know what I mean? They built it. And so that's kind of a narrative in people's heads. And I think, a lot of people, if you granted them three wishes, would just say, I want to be able to design, I want to be able to develop, and I want to be mates with Zuckerberg.
Pretty much.
So that's what they'd want, but that's not, that's not good, because they're not the thing that make you different.
No.
You know, there's no unfair advantage in being able to develop.
Not at all.
Or design. And so the founder's much better focused on the customer.
Yeah, the rest of it, yeah. And they could sit there if they knew how to develop, and they could just be developing entirely the wrong thing.
Oh, that's all they do. And that's what people do. You know, I mean, our million startup ideas we've had over our time working together.
So many.
We've gone straight into trying to design and build them because that's what we can do. And they're all half finished.
Well, I don't even know if they are finished.
Well, they better be half finished. You better not be hiding any of them.
Yeah.
I almost think if you're able to develop, it's dangerous, because you would just sit down, start coding, and actually that's not the way to start.
Not to start
a business. You've got to get out there and meet the customer. Leave the developing, the designing to absolutely, and because you're going to be too busy.
Yeah,
and that's the thing to get good at, is listening, working out if your idea is right, learning how to deal with that feedback, learning how to process that back into the product. No, you don't need development skills. What you need is really good empathy skills, I suppose. If you're going to develop anything, develop a way to understand what people are thinking around your problem space and how to do right by them.
Yeah.
Because you can pay for development, but you can't pay to find out. That's got to be you. You've got to be the person there with the customer. That's your role as founder.
You've got to understand them very, very well.
So we're always, I mean, it's always a case of whenever we meet anyone that wants to start something, that's what you're on the lookout for, isn't it? Someone that comes to you and says, oh, I've already done this research around
this problem. Yeah.
I put together a landing page on Squarespace or something, and here's what people thought when they saw it. Because you can do all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You can get quite a long way without having any dev skills at all. I mean, like Squarespace you mentioned is a brilliant example. Like you can have a website in 10 minutes, basically, and no one knows any different. I mean, you might know that it's not perfect, but your potential customer has no clue. They just see something and take it as the words written on the page. So
a lot of people can do design and dev, but in your business, no one can replace you as founder. And that's that's what you've got to focus on being.
Yep. And so, I mean, one of the other things is, and it comes on from the kind of passion thing that we talked about before, is you need this unfair advantage of your knowledge of your industry you're trying to get into. So if you're deeply involved in that and you've noticed something that, you know, isn't being fixed or could be fixed in a different way, that is an incredibly important thing to have.
Exactly. It's less of a hard and fast rule, I'd say, because there definitely is room for someone to come from outside the industry with a different way of thinking. Yeah. Sometimes things get disrupted completely from the side and they weren't even trying to do it. But, you know, if they don't know the industry, you think, well, you haven't got that inbuilt instinct for what's going to work.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you need to test all your ideas and, yes, you need to validate everything, but where are those ideas coming from? They've got to come from your instincts around
it. Yeah, your knowledge of the industry. I mean, most people that we speak to do come to us with that kind of background. You know, they've worked in the industry for a while. They've seen, you know, in the future it's going a different way. And so they've had an idea. But yeah, I mean, sometimes people do come in and our first question to them is, what's your involvement in this industry? And if they say none, then it's always a bit of a warning sign, isn't it? Because it's harder to really break into something without that knowledge that you've built up.
Absolutely, because what's going to happen is once you get a product going, the feedback from users is going to come so thick and fast. Well, hopefully it'll come thick and fast. If you get no feedback, it's because it hasn't worked. So obviously something's gone wrong before that. But generally, you'll start getting user feedback, and people's response to that is often to say, well, I'm just going to deal with it one at a time. You know, and if someone asks for this feature, I'll build that feature. Mm-hmm. And you can't run a product like that.
No.
So what essentially you need to be able to do is very quickly filter and work out what's happening, why it's happening. And that can only come from instinct. You have to, if every time you get a bit of feedback, you have to stop and think and say, is that a good idea or not? Yep. I need to go and check how things work in that industry. Someone else is just instantly processing that piece of feedback through their experience, through what they know, and just saying, that doesn't matter, or that's a massive problem, we need to move and deal with that. And you just got, you know, it's something that builds up over time. If you work at it long enough, you'll get it.
Yeah.
It's just, will you get it fast enough?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't have it at the start, you could be causing more problems than good.
Completely. So definitely a good knowledge of the problem space and the customers within it. Mm-hmm. And that's something you're just going to have to double down on and keep learning about those customers. But it's a good founding, a place to start from. I think that's really important.
So the last thing is more of something that I suppose we say people shouldn't do, is that you obviously have a lot of passion for something you're getting into, but you need to be flexible. And you see quite a lot of people that have this sort of blind determination of they've seen a path and they stick to it. And that can be really dangerous when you're starting a new business like this, or an online business especially.
Absolutely. I think the big trap to fall into is, you know, you have an idea for a business, you see a problem, you can't help but work out how you'd solve it, and that's fine. But what isn't fine is to become wedded to that. The longer you go with that idea in your head, the more wedded you become.
Yep.
Especially people when thinking about starting a new business, it all comes in together. You know, you've got someone saying, okay, I'm going to quit my day job and I'll go and do this new business. So every day on the way to their day job, they're thinking of the idea, and it's solidifying in their head as this is how it's going to work, this vision of how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And it's the double-edged sword of having that determination and that vision, because once you get going, you cannot be blindly determined to deliver a singular solution. You need to be determined to keep going, and you need to be determined when something doesn't work to keep carrying on with it. But you can't let that determination and sort of tunnel vision overflow into actual product design. It's very hard to separate those two things. You know, product has to stay flexible. The users are going to define you.
They'll shape the path your product takes, definitely. Yeah. The second they start using it, they'll tell you how they want to use it, and you'll need to learn from that and adapt.
Completely. You've got to go with that because the longer you hold on to that idea you spent months thinking about on the train, if you find out that that's not going to work, you've got to drop it.
You have to step away from it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, to be honest, I would be assuming it's not going to work from the start.
Well, quite a lot of the time we're trying to break people's assumptions, make sure that any point that they've not got right, we're testing and proving that it's wrong. And anything that does get through, brilliant, because that's a success.
Completely. Everything, as we always say, we split it into two. They've identified a problem and a solution.
Yep.
And the problem is something they've experienced, maybe even themselves. The solution is, well, it's a guess.
You know,
assumption's a polite way of putting it, but it is just a guess. There's nothing wrong with having ideas about an approach.
Yeah.
But if you're going to stick to it, that determination will come around and bite you.
And I suppose that the way you'd move forward is someone that's got this vision and passion, that they're constantly coming up with new ideas how to improve the service. They're putting them out, testing them with the users, and seeing which ones the users actually want. So that's the way the founder kind of moves forward and keeps developing the thing.
Yeah.
But always listening to the customer and adapting based on what they say.
Completely. Save the determination for when you're trying to convince investors.
Yeah, basically. True. Very
you know
true.
I mean?
Yeah.
You'll need it. Absolutely. So cool. I mean, I suppose, to summarise our top things they need.
Mm-hmm.
They need the vision that they're going to be constantly, about the problem, that this problem needs solving.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need development skills.
No.
They need customer skills.
Definitely.
So forget about that. Don't go on Treehouse or lynda.com learning to code. just forget it. You won't have time. If this goes well, you won't have time.
No, not at all.
They need an insight into an industry. They need like an instinct around the problem.
Yep.
Whatever form that comes in. They don't need to be in the industry, but they need to just be able to quickly make decisions. And they need good determination, not bad determination.
I guess that's one way of putting it, yeah.
I think, there's a quote, I think, of maybe Amazon man Bezos.
Okay.
That's be strong on vision, but flexible on details.
Yeah, that does ring a bell, yeah.
If he didn't say it quite like that, then I've just said that.
We've got that one now down.
So please feel free to quote that. But yeah, you have to be flexible and listen to the customer when you're actually designing your solution. You can be determined about everything else in your startup, but you can't let it overflow and mean that you're blind to that.
Yep, cool. That about sums it up. You can join us next time. In the meantime, send over any questions, comments, whatever to us on our website, wearelighthouse.com. Reach us on social media and all that kind of malarkey.
Mm-hmm.
But until next time, see ya.
See you later.